As we're facing one of the most challenging times in the history of Revive Our Hearts, one simple act can make a huge difference.
It's changed everything for me.
One donation to Revive Our Hearts can help us reach one more listener for one more day.
God has used His truth through Nancy and through her ministry to give me a new heart.
One woman changed by the message of Revive Our Hearts can affect an entire family.
It's helped me stay married.
And when God revives the heart of just one woman, He can change the world around her.
I listen to Revive Our Hearts by internet, but if I have Revive Our Heart in Spanish, it would be amazing. Amazing.
Would you perform one simple act that could make a huge difference? Typically, about 40% of the donations that Revive Our Hearts needs for the entire year arrives in the month of December. As we come to the end of this year, we're facing some unusually great needs. In fact, it's no exaggeration to say that this is the most financially stretching time that Revive Our Hearts has experienced in our 10-year history. We've been in the difficult process over the last few weeks of deciding which radio stations we need to discontinue and which outreaches we need to trim or even shut down altogether. So when you support Revive Our Hearts here at the end of the year, you will be making a huge difference. You'll be helping us to continue speaking to hundreds of thousands of women across the country over the radio, through the internet, and through other biblical resources. Your generous donation at this time will also help us to take advantage of some wonderful opportunities that the Lord has set before us. Your gift will help us reach more women more effectively by means of the internet as we renovate our aging websites. And you'll help us move forward with some really great opportunities in the Spanish-speaking world. Several friends of this ministry who are aware of our current challenges and these wonderful opportunities want to help us in a significant way. So between now and December 31st, they have offered to match each donation, dollar for dollar, up to a matching challenge amount of $300,000. That means that your investment will be doubled when you give during this challenge. And I think you'd agree that there's no way you could get that kind of return by an investment in the stock market or almost anywhere else. Fulfilling this $300,000 challenge will represent a huge step in meeting our overall need, which is significant. So I want to ask you to pray about helping us to meet and far exceed this matching challenge amount. As you do, you'll be helping us to share life-changing, Christ-exalting, biblical truth with women in your community and around the world. Would you help us to meet and even go beyond this matching challenge by making a special donation to Revive Our Hearts today? You can make a donation online at reviveourhearts.com, or you can give us a call at 1-800-569-5959. I want to assure you that your gift at this time will make a huge impact in many, many lives.
Carrie Wyndon attended the True Woman Conference earlier this year. She describes why she appreciated the teaching at the conference.
We don't have an identity, and we're hungering for one, because all of the things that the world has offered to us has turned to sand. And we're looking for bedrock. We need something to stand on that is unchanging, that will bring us genuine fulfillment. And the teaching that I've been able to glean from the True Woman speakers and the scripture that is involved in the whole dynamic of True Woman is that there is bedrock, and it's Christ. And in it is an identity that you can find, that I can find, that has meaning and purpose. I will not get to the end of my life and wish that I'd worked more. I won't get to the end of my life and wish that I had better clothes. I won't get to the end of my life and wish that I hadn't gotten old and wrinkly. I will get to the end of my life, I'm sure, and pine for the wasted opportunities I had for speaking truth into the lives of women. And I think that that's a need that True Woman and Revive Our Hearts is really filling.
Today, we'll hear one of those messages from the True Woman Conference. It will challenge you to think about the end of your life. What will people remember about you? This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Wednesday, December 1st. Early Earlier this week, we began a message that Nancy first delivered at the True Woman Conference. She opened Titus 2 and answered the question, "What is a true woman?" Then she answered the question, "How do you become a true woman?" You can hear those first 2 days of the series at reviveourhearts.com. Today, we'll hear part 3 of this message. Nancy will discuss the question, "What difference does it make?" Let's listen.
Does all this really matter? How much does it really matter? Is it all that important? Why do women need to learn these things? Why do we need to practice these things? And what's at stake? What happens if we don't live this way? Well, Titus 2, the passage we've been reading and beyond, gives instructions to believers who are in various seasons and stations in life. And repeatedly, Paul says, here's what the gospel looks like on you. And in this passage, Paul includes 3 purpose clauses. This is the so what. This is why it matters. Look at these 3 clauses. First, in verse 5. Why does it matter? So that the word of God may not be reviled. Verse 8. So that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. And verse 10, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. Ladies, there is so much more at stake here than our own individual lives. There's this ripple effect of our lives that goes so much further than most of us realize. Just say, you know, yeah, people who speak at conferences like this, they need to be true women for sure. My pastor's wife, she needs to be a true woman. The women's ministry director, the person who leads our study group, she needs to be a true woman. But what does it really matter if I'm a true woman? It matters hugely. You do not realize the impact that your life has on an unbelieving world and others around us. As we make the gospel believable or not by the extent to which our lives reflect sound doctrine and the gospel of Christ. So as unbelievers look at the Christians, quote, that they know, if they see us being lazy, addicted, having rebellious kids, marriage conflicts, immorality, dysfunctional relationships, being unkind with our tongues, with our attitudes, not sophron, not self-control, what conclusions do they draw about Christianity? Does your life cause your husband, your kids, or others to disrespect or to doubt God's word? Does it give them ammunition to attack what you say you believe? Or does your life adorn, enhance the doctrine of Christ? It was a 19th century German philosopher who said, "Show me your redeemed life, and I might be inclined to believe in your Redeemer." What difference does it make if you and I live godly lives in an ungodly world? Ladies, your life, your family, may be one tiny island of godliness in a huge sea of wickedness. But that's how the kingdom of God spreads. As they see your light, they see Christ in you, and they are drawn to him, and they are drawn to believe. They are compelled to repent of their sin, to believe the gospel, to turn to Christ. Don't underestimate the impact of being God's true woman, having the character and fulfilling the calling of a true woman of God. Last Friday morning, I received a call that a cousin had died suddenly during the night. Ruth Ozinga was 61 years old. She had become a dear friend in more recent years. I'd gotten to know her better. She was a prayer warrior for our ministry and a true, true woman of God. She had been married to her husband, Marty, for 40 years. They had 6 sons who were in their 20s and 30s, and now 6 daughters-in-law as of this year. The last one got married. As of next month, they will have 16 grandchildren, ages 8 and under. I don't know if my math is right, something like that. Yeah, they're 15 now. The 15th was born last Wednesday. On Thursday, Ruth held that newborn in her arms, and Thursday night, during the night, Ruth went to be with the Lord. I had the privilege of attending her memorial service yesterday morning in Chicago and was asked to share briefly some reflections on her life at that service, as did two of her sons and two of her brothers. The outpouring of love and affection for her and the tributes about her life were just unbelievable. I wasn't there the night before for the visitation, but I understand that for 7 hours, people stood 500 in line at all times to get to speak to the family, to express their affection for Ruth and their memories of her. 3,000 to 4,000 people, I was told, who attended that visitation. But as I was at that funeral service yesterday, the memorial service, I just listened to people talk about the impact she had had in their lives. People who knew her, who loved her, people who had been childhood friends, stayed friends with her through life, her children, her daughters-in-law. I just listened to many people talk about the impact of her life. And what I knew of her and what I heard them describe is exactly what we have been looking at in Titus chapter 2. I heard the story of a woman of godly character. And at first I was really sad, and I still am to some extent, as I think about those precious grandchildren who will never know Grandma Ruth, will not have the influence of her life here on earth, taken so young. But then I looked down at those precious daughters-in-law, and I thought, she prayed those girls into this family. She prayed those sons to faith, she and her husband working together. God did the work. She would take no credit for it. She cared about legacy, and she left her mark, and she left her imprint. And for generations to come, long after everyone who was at that service is dead and gone, she will still be speaking. Her impact, the ripple effect of her impact, will be continuing for generations to come as they pass the torch, the baton of faith on. Now, it's easy to look at a life like that and think, well, that's somebody else's story. But my life is so messed up. My family is so dysfunctional. My past is so whatever. Ladies, that's what grace is for. That's what the cross is about. You can be, by God's grace, His true woman, doing the battle on your knees, having the character of a true woman, and fulfilling the calling of a true woman to pass that baton of faith on to others around you, being intentional, not just wandering your way through life, but saying, God has put me here on this planet for a purpose, and by God's grace, Lord, I will be that true woman to fulfill your holy purposes in my world for this generation. And I take that applause to mean that that is what you affirm in your heart as your desire.
Nancy Lee DeMoss isn't finished. She'll be back for the second half of the program in just a minute. Nancy delivered that message at one of the True Woman conferences earlier this year. You can hear all the plenary sessions from the conference at the True Woman website. Just access it from our site, reviveourhearts.com. And when you're there, you can also order the message you heard today on DVD or CD. Getting a copy would help you share this message with the women you know. Truly understanding and living out the True Woman message is important. The impact of that kind of life can impact people in ways you can't always predict. Here's Nancy with some examples.
As we close tonight, I want to share two letters with you that show the impact of a true woman. First of all, the impact that can be made on other women around us. And I want to share a letter that was written by a woman who heard my dear friend Holly Eliff, who will be doing one of the breakout sessions tomorrow. Holly has been on Reviver Hearts numerous times. Many of you know and love her voice. And this woman wrote to Holly, having heard her on our program a number of times. Here's the impact that Holly's life as a true woman had on this woman who had never even met her. She said, "Dear Mrs. Eliff, I just had to write a note to tell you how much you have influenced my life for godliness through your advice on Revive Our Hearts. I've only recently come under sound doctrine, and I've struggled to learn how to live out godliness in the ordinary paths of life. When I first heard you on the broadcast, my soul was so famished for help that your calm, seasoned comments brought me out of a deep, dark place. What helped me was my sense that your knowledge wasn't theoretical. It sounded like words from someone who had learned it in the trenches. Marrying, raising a family, cooking meal after meal, raising each child, and glorifying the Lord in it. You cannot imagine what it has meant to me to have a godly example as a role model to follow. Your friendship and counsel have helped establish a godly framework for my thinking. Thank you for giving warm words of godly counsel and advice, for standing on the Lord's commands to us instead of compromising. You cannot know how that has made a real impact on a life and soul so marred and scarred by sin, and without any godly women to turn to for help. Thank you for helping to pull a despairing sister out of the muck and mire of sin. I'm sure when you were changing diapers, Holly has, as many of you know, 8 children, so she's been through a lot of those changing diaper seasons, or listening to the same story again, you could not have known that those were the very things that would make your advice so weighty and true for me, a single woman. When you speak, it's from the point of view of someone who's lived it, who has raised a family and had to work out the scriptures in close quarters. The Lord's word has molded you so that your broken life is sending out such riches, such wine. Please let older women know that the most valuable thing they can do is to develop in righteousness. Not the career or beautiful home, it is the life of righteousness that alone can help redeem broken lives. I never thought I would come to value God's ways above the world's, or actually see how beautiful holiness is, but I have. And I thank you for being part of the Lord's way of revealing Himself and His loveliness and the beauty of living a godly life to me. Is there another woman somewhere who could write that kind of letter about your ministry and influence? About your life. As we are true women of God, there'll be lots of women who can write those kinds of letters. But you know, the impact of a true woman is not just seen on other women. It's also seen on the men around us. And I want to read to you one of a letter I received a number of years ago that I still treasure as one of the most special letters I've ever received. Dear Mr. Moss, I'm writing to thank you for you have given me 2 very important things that I have never possessed as far back as I can remember. I am 26 years old and have come to know the Lord in the last couple of years. The Lord is doing some wonderful things in my life and I hope to someday serve Him full time. Before I began listening to your program, parentheses, I know it is a woman's program, but I enjoy listening to you for reasons I will explain. Before I began listening to your program, I had little to no trust for women and very little understanding of what a true woman of God was. On both my mother and my father's side of the family, my grandparents had all been divorced and remarried, some more than once. My grandmother on my father's side used her alimony to open up 2 topless clubs in the 70s. His grandmother. My mother met my father in one of his mother's clubs and eventually they married. They divorced after this, and my mother was married and divorced 2 more times in the years that followed. When my sister and I were children, my mother worked 2 full-time jobs to support us. I realized the great responsibility she had as a single mother. I realized how much she loved and still loves us, but she didn't know the Lord, and because of that, it was hard on us all. When we were 6 and 8 years old, the only time we got to spend with our mother was when she was home from work. But she was worn out and could only sleep. My sister and I would play in and around her bed when she was home. We could have played anywhere else in the 2-bedroom apartment or even outside, but I realize now that we played in Mom's bedroom when she was home because it was our only way to be close to her, the only time to be with her. Later, she married, and instead of staying at home or just working one job, my mother used the spare time she had to go to college. Everyone in the family was proud of her, but it left little time for us. Maybe when her schooling was finished, we would have more time with her. But this was not to be either. After graduating from college, Mom began to climb the corporate ladder, working 60, 70, and sometimes 80 hours a week to get ahead in life, just keeping up with the Joneses. I've grown up since those days. I've learned a great deal the hard way. The relationships I've had since my teens with various women have never once been healthy. It was one bad relationship after another that helped me decide at an early age to forego all relationships with women. And this attitude only brought greater mistrust and deeper pain into my life. Even after coming to the Lord, I made the decision not to ever be married. I would tell myself that I was giving that up to serve the Lord, that all I needed was Him. But in truth, it was because of the great mistrust I had for women. I began listening to your program because of a testimony you had on a couple years ago. I don't remember the woman's name. She was an orphan who was badly mistreated, but clung in her youth to the word that God loved her and overcame the trials of her life. Since listening to you, I had begun writing my mother again. I hadn't written to her in more than 2 years. She actually writes me back quite frequently, and as I build that relationship with her, I am giving her verses to read in an attempt to be some kind of witness to her. You've also given me an example of what kind of woman I should be looking for when it comes my time to marry in the years ahead. You have provoked me to become a better man. And ladies, true women will do that for men. Not provoking, but inspiring them to be better men. You have provoked me to become a better man because I know that I will never be married to a woman with a spirit like yours unless I have a like heart to do the will of my Father. You have given me all these things. There were things that only a woman can give a man, things that a mother should inspire in her son. Because of this, I thought an appropriate gesture to tell you these things and to wish you a happy Mother's Day. In my heart, you will always be one of my mothers in the Lord. I will continue to listen to Revive Our Hearts now, and someday in the future, maybe I'll have a wife who will listen with me. P.S. By my address, it should be obvious that I am in prison. Please pray for my continued victory in the Lord and future ministry, whatever that may be. I'll be getting out in only a few more years now. What would happen if every Christian woman were to live out the message of Titus 2, to live as those who have been transformed by the gospel of Christ? What would our homes look like? How might the men around us be inspired to pursue Christ, to desire Him? How would Christian marriages look different? Would Christian young people growing up in our homes be leaving the church in droves as they are today? Or would they say, having seen the reality of authentic faith in the hearts of their heart of their mom and other women around them, this thing is real. I want what they have. Would those around us, men and women, hunger to know God more intimately? Would the watching world begin to see a tangible, visible difference in us? And would that same power of the gospel begin to affect them? Who knows that maybe revival would occur?
Your life can make a huge impact in the world. Nancy Lee DeMoss has been showing you the far-reaching power of a life lived for God's glory. We've been able to bring you that message thanks to women who donate to Revive Our Hearts. If you've never supported this ministry, would you pray about what God may have you give during a critical time? In almost 10 years on the air, we're in our most challenging season financially, and we need to hear from you. When you make a donation between now and the end of the year, you'll help us meet and exceed a matching challenge some friends of the ministry have established. Just donate at reviveourhearts.com or call 1-800-569-569. That's 1-800-569-5959. This week, Nancy's been showing us the value of mentoring relationships from Titus chapter 2. Tomorrow, we'll hear some examples of that in the lives of women who have benefited from mentors. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.